Welcome into the season finale of Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. My name's Max Herz, and for the last time in the 2021-2022 Nashville Predators season, it is time for Smashville Live. Smashville Live, as always, is presented by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. We want to thank those big three sponsors for their support year after year here on Smashville Live. And as always, we finish up at the end of the regular season. So this is our last go-round. Preds programming isn't going anywhere as the playoffs ramp up next week. And of course, your Nashville Predators clinched their eighth consecutive Stanley Cup playoff berth last night with an overtime loss at home and then a little bit of help from the Dallas Stars, who beat the Vegas Golden Knights in a shootout to lock down that playoff spot for the Preds. So two more regular season games for Nashville. We know that we will be in tomorrow night against the Avalanche at 8 o'clock, and then 9:30 on Friday, the regular season finale against the Coyotes. So the Predators still do not know which wild card spot they will be in. They know that if they tie with the Stars in terms of standings points, which they are tied right now for those wild card spots, the Preds will have the tiebreaker, and that will not change. So the Stars will need to outperform the Preds in their final two games in the standings in order to pass Nashville and get that first wild card spot. So if the season ended today, and it doesn't end today, it ends Friday, the Preds would play the Flames in the first round, and the Stars would play the Avalanche, but that does have the ability to flip. So we'll keep you updated. We'll have both games for you here on 102.5 The Game. And then, of course, the playoffs, which could begin as soon as next Monday. Preds in either Calgary or Colorado to get that started. We got Preds team president and CEO Sean Henry coming up at 6:30. But for the first half of the show, we want to go back through some of our favorite interviews from this season here on Smashville Live. It's such a luxury to be able to have Predators players on the show with myself, Hal Gill, Chris Mason, Robbie Stanley, Chase McCabe, for not just short interviews, for a half hour at a time. And we really get a chance to do two things with those players that we love. We get to talk hockey in depth, going really deep about the game with them and how Gil does a great job with that. And then for the second half of the interview, we talk about the players' personal lives, their backgrounds, their families, where they're from, how they came to the NHL, things like that. So we're going to play eight of our favorite player answers from this past spring Smashville Live episodes for you. We like to think we go pretty deep on the hockey talk here, so we'll start with the hockey answers, and then in the second segment of the show today, you'll hear from some of the players on their families, their charities, and a funny story to end the show as well. We'll start off with the man who's got a lot of eyes on him all of a sudden. That's Preds backup goalie David Rittich. It's his first season as the Preds backup, and with UC Saros getting injured last night and the team announcing that he would miss at least the final two games of the regular season, remains to be seen on the playoffs. Rittich will be taking over with Connor Ingram coming up from Milwaukee to back him up as well. This was David Rittich earlier this month on his journey to the U.S. late in his hockey life. He did not come over to play in North America until his mid-20s, much later than other players, and it's a cool story of a man who's established himself as an NHLer. David, you came over to the U.S. from your native Czech Republic now 5 years ago, much later in your hockey career than many others do, coming from the various hockey countries across Europe. Was it a matter playing in the Czech League of any time an NHL team could ever be interested in me, I would go, or it had to be more of a correct fit?
I mean, probably the first way, because I never been in junior or national team or something like that. And I wasn't even thinking about to play in NHL. And then I was playing with my hometown team in the second Czech league for a couple of years. Then I signed a new deal in the first Czech league, played there 2 years. And then the offer from Calgary came, and I was pretty much surprised, because I knew the scout's gonna be in that game, but he was actually looking for a different player, which was Daniel Preville from the team we play against. And the scout liked me enough to talk about me with GM of Calgary. So it was kind of funny. It came through right away, and I made it to NHL in my second year in North America.
That's Preds goalie David Riddick earlier this month on Smashville Live talking about coming to play in the U.S. He was in the second league in the Czech Republic, made his way up to the first league, and then got noticed by a scout for the Calgary Flames. And here he is, all of a sudden, because of the injury to Saros, going to be the starting goalie, at least for the time being, for the final two games of the regular season. A very unique hockey story. The majority of the European players who come to the NHL are drafted in the year they turn 18, and they'll play in Europe for many years. Many of them will after that until they turn 20 or 21 or are deemed NHL ready by their club. But that wasn't the case for David Riddick. He never thought he would play in the NHL. Well, here he is. Really cool answer and a very cool story of how David Riddick got here, and he's got an 8-week-old son now as well, born right here in Smashville. So very cool story for the goalie from the Czech Republic who came in for the end of last night's game after Saros got hurt, and we expect to see him in these final two regular season games as well. And again, the Preds called up Connor Ingram, who has been great in Milwaukee this season. So two options for the Preds for however long Saros is out after being injured yesterday. The newest Predator, Jeremy Lauzon, came on Smashville Live, also on that same show when we had David Riddick, after he was traded to the Preds on March 20th from the Seattle Kraken at the trading deadline. And I just stepped back and let Hal Gill and Jeremy Lauzon, two defensemen, talk shop on something that Lauzon is really the only guy on this Preds team who does it. He's the only defenseman who plays his offside. He's a left-handed shot, but he plays right side D. Here he is with Hal.
I'm dying to pick your brain. You have been bounced around. I was a left defenseman, and if you put me on the right, I was a fish out of water. It just didn't work. But you have bounced around. Tell us about you're pretty comfortable from what it seems. You're right or left. You don't mind playing either?
Yeah, no. I don't mind playing either. Actually, had a tough time first year pro to play the left because I've played 4 years junior on the right. So I was just used to it. And my first year pro in Providence in the farm team of the Bruins, they put me on the left, and the first couple game, I couldn't figure it out. It was crazy. So and obviously I settled down on the left, and it was fine at one point, but no, I've always kind of enjoyed playing the right too. So, no, so I don't mind playing both.
It makes me laugh because I was on the left, and when I get stuck up, my first partner was Ray Bourque, of course, a Quebec kid, and yeah. He was showing me the ropes, and he just said, it's easy. When you're playing on the right, you just drive up the right side, move to your forehand, and then throw a sauce across the ice. It was an easy game, but it never stuck. But but I had Ray Bourque as a partner. It's kind of an easy game at that point. But you've had several different partners. You've been bounced around through injury and just trying to find your spot. Tell us about playing. First of all, you're playing with Matthias Ekholm. I think that's how you started off. Tell us about him. And of course, you jumped up with Roman and played with Josi a little bit. Then you jump back and you're playing with Boro. So you kind of bounced around. Tell us about the challenges of playing with different guys.
Yeah, it's obviously three different players too. So when I play with Josi, I know that I'll be the fifth man or the last man out of the zone, and just trying to protect him defensively a little bit more, because I know he loves jumping on the play and make some play, and we as a team, we want him with the puck. So and a little bit of the same thing with Matthias Ekholm. He's a great two-way defenseman, makes great play. When I play with those guys, I just try to support them and play my game. Obviously, if I have a chance to jump in the rush, it's something that I like about my game, and I'll do it. But when I do play with a guy like this, the caliber of Roman, obviously I want him to be in the play before me, because if he gets the puck in the slot, he has a better chance to score than me. But and playing with Burrow has been great. I actually love playing with him. I just know it's so, he's so easy to read. He closed plays down low. We both play really hard in our D zone, so it's been great. And he talks a lot. I think our chemistry has been good too lately. And with this, with Boro, he pushed me to go a little bit more offense. He actually tells me to say, "Hey, do your thing offensively. I'll be there to back you up if something happens." So no, it's been great. It's actually the first time in my NHL career that I play with a guy that I have the liberty of going offensively a little bit more than my partner. So no, it's been great.
That's Preds trade deadline acquisition Jeremy Lauzon on a previous episode of Smashville Live, talking with Hal Gill about playing with different D partners and playing the right defense side as a left-handed shooter, which not a lot of guys do. And you heard from Jeremy, he is more comfortable at this point playing the offside, even though he hasn't done it a ton in the NHL. It's pretty much all he's done here in Nashville in the month he's been here. And unfortunately, Jeremy is injured right now with a lower body injury. We'll see if the Preds are able to get him back for the playoffs after he went down in a home game last week. Sportsnet NHL insider Elliot Friedman is one of the most trusted sources, if not the most trusted source, in the world of hockey media in the U.S., Canada, and everywhere in between. We're lucky to have Elliot on Darren Donick and Chase every Thursday for a radio appearance here at 1 o'clock, pretty much year-round, talking Preds and NHL storylines, which is always a must-listen interview. But Elliot also came on Smashville Live with us last month. He is a Hart Trophy voter for NHL MVP. And with that in mind, here's what he said about Roman Josi.
Well, first of all, everybody knows how good he is. It's not like this is a big secret. It's not like he's really surprising us. He's one of the greatest players in the NHL, and everybody knows him as such. I think there's something even more impressive about the fact that everybody knows he's going to do it. Everybody wants to try to stop him from doing it, and he can still do it. You know, this is a player who has a chance to get 100 points this year. And for defensemen, you know, we got used to Bobby Orr doing it. And if you're really young, you know, Bobby Orr is on the Mount Rushmore of great players in NHL history. There was a guy named Paul Coffey in the 80s who scored it at rates that no defenseman aside from Orr had ever scored. And other than that, we never really saw it. And now for Josi to be on pace to get 100 points, it's incredible. Especially in a league where people really know how to defend. The best teams, they can defend. They say, okay, that's your best player. We're not going to let you beat us with him. You're going to have to beat us with someone else. And he's still doing it. Now, I think the playoffs are another issue entirely. I think that he'll be gang tackled once the playoffs start. But I think it is incredible what he's doing, considering everybody is trying to stop him. And I was just asked this on one of our shows up in Canada, you know, who am I voting for the Hart Trophy this year, the MVP of the league? And right now it's one of three guys, and he's one of them.
There you go. That's Elliot Friedman strongly considering Roman Josi for his MVP vote. He said that here on March 30th. And it's going to take 7 points in the last two games of the regular season to get Josi to 100 points. But what a season. 22 goals, 71 assists, 93 points, plus 12, and just one of the best puck movers and zone entry guys in the history of the NHL. He really is. One last clip of Inside Hockey Talk here as we go through the best of Smashville Live on our final episode of the season. Preds forward Matt Luff was new to the team this year. He's been great on the third and fourth lines when he has been in the lineup this season. And on March 5th in San Jose, his line went crazy. The fourth line of Matt Luff, Michael McCarron, and Phil Tomasino all had three or more points in an 8-0 win in San Jose against the Sharks, and it was Luff's first multi-goal game as an NHL player. Just 4 days later, on March 9th, he was on Smashville Live and took Hal Gill inside his assist on a net front play where Michael McCarron scored.
All right, if we're going to talk about skill set, you got to take us through that pass to McCarron. We talked to him after on the radio show, and he was like, "That was just a gift. I just had to stand there." But take us through that play, because that was dirty. I like, a lot of people don't realize how nasty that play. You got you froze the forward, and then you got Brent Burns, one of the best defensemen, to freeze him and then make that play. Is that something that you're always looking to do, or is that just kind of you just saw the play and made it happen?
I think it just goes like we've done in practice with kind of their fab shot, and it's kind of a soft rim there to the other side. And usually when the D goes down, F3 fills in there. So that's kind of what we've done in practice. So I kind of just, it was kind of just one of those plays where I just knew where to go. And then our pre-scout noticed that there were a lot of knee down blocking teams. So I kind of thought I could sell the shot there. And once I got him down, I kind of knew I had a little more space to the left of me, moved there. And then Macker just got to the paint there, like we try and do, and just, you know, it just worked out. So, I mean, I'll take it. I got a lot of my buddies were pumped. So, I mean, it's probably one of the nicer sets I'll have.
I hated forwards that think. That's the worst. That's not fair.
Yeah, I mean, we just do such a good thing with, like, video. I think takes the thinking part out of it, which helps me out a lot. But, I mean, so, yeah, it goes down to, like, all those guys that just watch the film endless hours. I think just knowing that was a huge thing because, I mean, I think if I don't know that, I might just try and lay it in there with that net front going on.
Hal Gill hates forwards who think. That's great. Classic stuff from Hal. And Matt Luff was very much a thinking forward in that moment, taking us deep inside a goal that took place on the first week of March. That's the type of hockey talk we give you here on Smashville Live on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's our final episode of the season. Sean Henry, team president of the Preds, coming up at 6:30. We'll take a break, come back with some of our favorite stories from players this season about their family life and about things that are passionate to them, and a funny story as well. You're listening to Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's our last episode of the year. Max Hurst, your host, going through some of our favorite moments with Preds players over the course of this hockey season on the show. Smashville Live is presented by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine here on 102.5 The Game. We always like to talk to players about their families, their upbringing, causes that are passionate to them, and more. Let's talk a little bit of hockey family with Preds star Matt Duchene, 42 goals this year. In late February, he was on the show telling us about his three-year-old son's first time ever ice skating. We also saw on Instagram last month Bo skating at Bridgestone Arena for the first time ever with the nice hockey skates and the little training blades on the side, too.
Yeah.
How much fun did he have, and how quickly did he start picking up the little things?
Yeah, so that was his first time. He did really well. We were a little nervous that if he was going to even go out on the ice, because he thought originally that he was going to have to play a game and he was going to have to skate out through the Predator and like the big Predator head. And that like scares him. Like, he loves looking at it, but he doesn't want to, like, it's just so big for him. And he thought the horn was going to go off and everything. He loves watching, but he just, that overwhelmed him, but he did good. And we actually took him back. I posted some video or pictures of him skating at our practice rink a couple weeks later. And from the first time, the second time, he's unreal. And actually tomorrow morning, he's getting his first lesson. So I have him coming to the rink with me in the morning and getting a lesson tomorrow with Jackie Munzel, our skating coach, our team skating coach. She does a lot of kids too. She's amazing and has a really cool, for pros, and just an amazing outlook and very different way of teaching skating. And I'd like to dive into it more myself with her, to be honest. I want to find some time maybe this summer or in the fall and do that myself, but I can't think of a better person to get Bo out there with. So looking forward to that. So pre-practice tomorrow, he'll be out there for a twirl with her.
That's Matt Duchene, whose son thought he was going to have to play an entire NHL game while he was learning how to skate for the first time. I love that. Also in that show in February, Luke Cunnan, Preds forward and type 1 diabetic, talked about the Luke Cunnan T1D fund.
Yeah, no, it's been really awesome. So, yeah, I was diagnosed when I was 12 years old. And, you know, for me, knowing nothing about it, I was fortunate enough to have BJ Crombean, who played on Blues at the time, reach out to me, you know, within 24 hours of being diagnosed. And that was really just a memory that sunk into me. And knowing, you know, if I ever, you know, played in the NHL, something where I had a platform, I'd want to do something like that. So, yeah, this year we started the Luke Cunnan T1D Fund, where, you know, we have kids and their families who have type 1 out at the game. We get them tickets and meet and greet. You know, obviously doing what we can right now through the COVID stuff, we can't do you know, in-person stuff, a lot of, you know, FaceTimes, things like that, but it's been awesome. You know, a lot more things in the works here to come for the foundation, but it's been great. And I'm just, you know, it's awesome to be able to just be someone for the kids to look up to, have any questions, you know, really whatever they have for the kids and the families. Just want to be there for them and help them in any way that I can. So it's been really great. You know, JDRF is behind it helping out, which has been awesome. You know, the Preds Foundation as well, and the team and the organization. So it's been really special.
A lot of people know someone with type 1 or type 2 diabetes and know the basics about it. But what is it like for a high-level professional athlete to be diabetic? And how often are you monitoring your blood sugar and things like that during a game?
Yeah, so, you know, during a game, I'm testing a lot leading up to the game, you know, with adrenaline and so many other things that always kind of, you know, fluctuates and messes with it. But I'll get it within, you know, certain ranges. I like going out for warmups, then I'll come back and obviously test a few more times before the first, you know, and same thing every period. So, you know, really on top of it and kind of have a routine and a rhythm that I like to be in for games. But, you know, as most type 1 diabetics know, you know, every day is not the same. It's always different. So you always just got to, you know, be on top of it, be adapting with changes, things like that. So it's been, you know, relatively easy for me. I want to say it's
great.
You know, it's not easy, but it's been, you know, manageable, and, you know, you got a lot of people in your corner helping you out, which has been great. So
that's Predators forward Luke Cunnin on his partnership with the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation and the Luke Cunnin T1D Fund, helping others in Smashville, especially kids with type 1 diabetes. Matt Benning, Preds defenseman, was on the show last month. He comes from a deep, deep hockey family and told us what that's like. Where do you feel like that's helped you the most?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think kind of starting off as a young kid playing hockey, kind of trying to find my game, it was mainly my dad and my grandpa that were giving me, you know, hockey tips. And at the time, a lot of the hockey tips they gave me, I didn't want to listen to. I think it's just part of being that age and being stubborn. I think all, you know, kids and parents go through that age of the younger kids not listening to you. But, you know, as I got older, I appreciated a lot more, and they kind of developed me and helped me become who I am today. And yeah, I mean, you could say the same thing for my sister. She had a very successful hockey career, played University of Alberta, won a championship there. And then, you know, my brother, he's well on his way and doing well in college hockey. So, you know, there's always somebody to lean on in the family, whether it was my dad, my grandpa, or my uncles, and lots of hockey knowledge. So it was family reunions were more of hockey reunions. It was just talking about hockey 24/7. I feel bad for my wife who didn't grow up playing hockey, but you know what, it's all good, and I mean, we all appreciate it and recognize it now.
And perhaps the best known of the crew is your Uncle Jim, who was the GM of the Canucks for a long time. But before that, he was the Bruins assistant GM when they drafted you. Was he the one who told you that you were getting picked?
You know what, before the draft, I reached out to him because I was kind of I think they classify A, B, and C kind of going into the draft. And I was kind of always flirting with like a C grade, meaning like I could be drafted, I might not be drafted. And I told him, like, you know, like if I don't know if you guys are going to draft me or even thought about it, I just, you know, I don't want you guys just wasting a pick just because it's me. I want to, you know, earn it and that sort of thing. And funny story is at the time I was studying for my grade 12 final exam at the end of the year. You know what, actually with my wife, she's my girlfriend at the time. And all of a sudden I got a call from a Bruins reporter and told me I was drafted, and I had no idea. I was really surprised, and I didn't even talk to my uncle until, you know, a few hours after the draft. And yeah, it was pretty cool and that sort of thing. But, you know, kind of at that time, his role shifted from, okay, he is my uncle. He's still my uncle, but I kind of see him as like assistant GM now. So it was a different mindset definitely after that.
That's Preds defenseman Matt Benning, who since that interview, his younger brother Mike, won the NCAA Hockey National Championship for the Denver Pioneers, so pretty awesome. Our last player story is a funny one. Jeremy Davies from Quebec, when he was in the minors with the Preds, now he's a defenseman for the big club. When he was in the minors, he had something that a lot of his teammates did not have. He still needed his driver's license. Here's how he got it. You mentioned the Milwaukee Admirals, and we had your AHL head coach Carl Taylor on for the first half of the show, and he requested that we ask you about when and how you got your driver's license and who taught you how to drive.
Yeah, so like I said before, I moved away from Quebec at 17. And what some people don't know is that in Quebec, getting your driver's license is like a long process, like just ridiculously long, like kind of unnecessary. It's like a year and a half of in-class sit-down classes. And then you got to do like once a week for like 6 months, you got to do driving. And so I was just like, the hell with it. I'm not getting my driver's license in Quebec. I'll wait until I'm, you know, maybe going to school in Boston or playing pro somewhere in the United States, and I'll get it then. And my first year pro in Milwaukee, I didn't have a car, obviously, because I didn't have my license yet. So because of my age, I think I was 22, it was really easy for me to get my license. It was just kind of like go in, take a quick like 30 question test, and then do like 10 minutes of driving, and then there you go, you have it. So that's exactly what I did. And I ended up buying a car and stuff, but Carl Taylor actually, like, I remember one day before team video, he put a chair like in the middle of the locker room, and instead of putting video up on the PowerPoint, he put up like a mock like questionnaire test for me. Like, so I had to sit down in the chair in front of the whole team and kind of answer all these like multiple choice questions about like driving like a couple days before my actual test. So that was funny.
That's so funny. So were the other guys helping you learn, or did you know at that point you just didn't have a license?
I kind of knew. I had this app on my phone that was getting me ready for the test that I would like do on like road trips or something. When I was bored on the bus, I'd pull up the app and, you know, answer a couple of the questions. So I was kind of, you know, caught up to speed on the answers and stuff, but the guys were just like laughing at me the whole time, and just like, it was a good time.
That's Jeremy Davies. Sometimes hockey players still need to learn how to drive. That's some of our best stuff on Smashville Live this year. We'll take a break, come back with Predators team president Sean Henry. That's next here on 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to Smashville Live, our season finale here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Smashville Live all season has been presented by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine. Max Herr is back with you. The Preds are back in the playoffs, and team president Sean Henry is here to talk about it. Sean, thanks for joining us, our final guest of the year. Pretty good way to end it.
Well, thanks for having me. I can't believe I had to wait the whole season to get an invite, though. Oh, my gosh. We just teed it up that way, like, we're out of guests. I might as well Henry on.
That's the Chase McCabe guest booking policy right there. Save the best for last, right?
Exactly. Well, thank you for this.
Our pleasure. And last night was a pretty crazy one. A roller coaster ride of a game. Predators do end up clinching a playoff spot with some help later in the night. What's that like for you as the president of the team, watching all those twists and turns and then ultimately knowing that the Preds are officially back in the playoffs for the eighth straight year?
Yeah, so you got to divide it up in a few buckets. Like, forget about playoffs and whatever else. Last Tuesday and last night were two of the best regular season hockey games I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Like, just as a fan, they were two incredible games. And then you put on the playoffs on top of it, and you start thinking, wow, what if we play them in a seven-game series? What is that going to look like for both of us? And as a hockey fan, if that happens, we're all going to be treated to an incredible series. So that was like the hockey fan part of me. But then in my role now, like, how great is it to be back in the playoffs? You know, eight straight years in the postseason, the second longest streak in the league, maybe the fifth or eighth longest in all sports. It's special, and, you know, it's something you don't take for granted because I've been with a few teams where we missed the playoffs for 3, 4, 5 years in a row, and this is a lot more fun, no doubt about it.
Playoff tickets will go on sale for those first-round games tomorrow at 10 in the morning. You guys have done a great job bringing a lot of fans back in with discounted playoffs for fans who re-up or join as season ticket members. What are some other things you guys are doing for the playoffs, whether fans either plan on attending games or will be watching them from home or out of town?
Yeah, what's great about our playoffs is our fans make them so special. Like, we just get out of the way. Whether you're in the building or you're at a watch party, they're bigger and better than anywhere else in this country. But for us, we looked at the playoffs this year a little differently. We wanted to make sure that we took a little time out, step back, to say thank you to our season ticket citizens that drive our organization to new heights. You know, outdoor games year in, year out. Now over in Europe, our fans have made us special. So this year, we did something that I don't think any other sports team has done in recent memory, and that's your playoff tickets can be cheaper than your regular season tickets if you're a season ticket holder for the first round and flat for the second round. And that was just our small way of just saying thank you for the best fans in sports. So, number one, let's fill the building up with our fans all in gold. And if you can't make it to a game, we'll have a watch party for every game, home and away. Our home games will also be in a park with video screens across the street. But for our away games, we're going to be in different parts of the community having the fun that we have. And if you can't make a watch party, we have over 200 bar partners that will be showing the game where you get the chance to gather with other people and enjoy Thunder's hockey. And there's nothing better than the playoffs than when you're watching with someone else wearing gold.
Nashville Predators team president Sean Henry is our guest here on Smashville Live, ESPN 102.5 The Game. So the playoffs will start. We know they'll start on the road in either Calgary or Denver early next week, Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. And then late in the week, Game 3 will be here either late in next week or sometime next weekend. So again, those tickets for single-game playoff spots go on sale tomorrow at 10 in the morning. So looking forward to seeing everybody in a packed Bridgestone Arena as usual. Last night, Sean, was Fan Appreciation Night. You've been through many of those now. What is it, 11 or 12 in your time with the Preds? What's your favorite part of those nights?
Yeah, this is my 12th year, but thanks for calling me old, Matt. Yeah, I've been through a lot of them in my lifetime. But my favorite thing about it was this year, it reminded me how special it was to let our fans on the ice, because we haven't done that in the past 2 years.
Right.
So it was so nice to get back to one of the cooler things that we do, and that is literally our players are peeling the jerseys off their back and handing them to, you know, the lucky winners last night. It was special to see that again. There are a lot of things we've taken for granted for the past 100 years, right, since last pandemic, and it's always fun when you get to redo something that you used to do, and it was really fun to watch last night. It really was. And it was even better to watch Dallas win the shootout.
All going on at once, a pretty crazy hour or so there at Bridgestone Arena between 10 and 11 Nashville time last night. You work very closely, of course, with David Poile. He runs the hockey side of the organization. You run the business side of the organization. He now has the most playoff appearances of any GM in NHL history, passing Jack Adams. Now 29 trips to the playoffs, including 15 of those here as the only GM in Preds franchise history. What's it like to, every time he breaks a record, whether it's most wins by a GM, going into the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame, a playoff mark like that, what does it mean to you as someone who works so closely with him?
Yeah, it's really humbling because David really is one of the treasures in our game. I mean, he's just such an incredible gentleman. And long before I came here, I'd go to our league meetings, our governor meetings, and I'd go over and talk to David. You know, he's a magnet for the rest of us to be drawn to. When I had the opportunity to think I could come here to work with David, I was just so excited because he really is an incredible guy. Second generation NHL executive. You know, his dad did some incredible things. And David tells all those stories in such a nice way. And then he's packaged in such a nice, kind manner that working with David has been the best part of my career. It really has been. And he said he made playoffs, I think, 15 times or so here. I've been fortunate to be with him for 10 of those. And it's just so nice and so fun. But I remember my first year here, we were talking about bringing in Mike Fisher at the trade deadline. And we're, you know, waffling. Do we make the playoffs with him or without him? What happens? And when I posed that question, you know, people always mistake David's gentlemanliness and his kindness, maybe with lack of caring, and you see it come out, his competitiveness, often. And that moment was the first time I really saw it in a meeting, and he stared at me and he said, no, we're making the playoffs. We've been like Fisher and get further in the playoffs than we ever have before. And it was so good to see that fire, you know, get ignited right in front of you. And that's what we did. We brought Mike in and, you know, made the second round for the first time in franchise history. So working with David is just good on every front. You eat better, you drink better wine, you have more fun, you laugh a lot more. And you also know that you're linked arms with a partner that cares about the franchise, our game, and our city. And it's something that inspires me every day to do a better job.
David Poyle's teams have made the playoffs more times than any other GM in NHL history, 29 in total. And now we can brag, Sean, more than half of his, it was 50-50 with the Preds and the Caps, now more than half of them have been here in Smashville. So passes Jack Adams. Not many guys who are passing Jack Adams in anything coaching or managerial in the NHL. So a high honor for David Poyle, for sure.
Right, he just passed Jack Adams.
Yeah.
That would be like if someone had more wins than Cy Young.
Yep.
Right? You're talking about names that were setting records, you know, decades and decades and decades ago, and our GM, our president of hockey operations, is rewriting the record book right here. And the real goal for me and for him and our coaching staff and our whole organization is now we got to do something we haven't done yet. And it would be a lot of fun to win the ultimate prize with a person like David.
Preds team president Sean Henry is our guest here on Smashville Live. We'll take a break, come back, and talk a little bit more about some of the special nights this season, including the outdoor game, Pecorine's retirement honoring Terry Crisp, and also look ahead some of the organization's long-term projects and a recent announcement of a cool opening day for next year. That's coming up next here on 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to Smashville Live, our final episode of the 21-22 Nashville Predators hockey season. Max Herr is with you here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, Smashville Live, as always in our season finale, presented by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine. Kenny Adams is our producer tonight, and we welcome back in Preds team president Sean Henry, if he can hear us on what sounds like an elevator. So hope Sean can hear us. There he is.
I can hear you guys fine. I'm trying to find a quiet place to be downtown Nashville.
Good
I'm
luck.
I'm walking back from a meeting, and... yeah, so I'm still in search for it.
The man in many places at many times, Sean Henry. Sean, let's talk about some of the special nights this year. I guess we'll go in order of most recent to least recent. We'll start with Terry Crisp, who was honored last Sunday night. You were part of the ceremony during the intermission to honor him. Did that day live up to the billing for a man who means so much to this community? I mean, I thought it was a perfect encapsulation of Crispy, for everyone to get to see him and hear him with Pete once again, too.
You know, I love Terry, so I can't imagine we did it the job that we should have done for a man like that. I mean, we all owe him a debt of gratitude, not just in our market, but in Tampa and Philly and St. Louis and Calgary and Boston and Oklahoma City and St. Mary's. I mean, everywhere the guy's been, he and his wife Sheila have left incredible memories. And yeah, last Sunday it was emotional for me. I mean, he and Sheila are so close to our family. They come to every holiday at our house. They go to my kids, every event at their school for grandparents' day and everything in between. And they've done that for thousands and thousands of other people. So we are not Smashville without Terry and Sheila. There's no doubt about it.
Absolutely. And then we will jump back a month and a half prior, February 27th. The Preds get to host their outdoor game for the first time at Nissan Stadium. Sean, you've been a part of many events as a visiting team. Of course, we've hosted playoffs in the Stanley Cup Finals and the draft. So you've seen the way the NHL does this. But what was it like to co-host this event with the league? And what type of feedback did they give to us?
You know, it's awesome. The league knows that we want to host every event they do.
Yep.
Every year, every event. And, you know, working with some really good friends at the league office, the event department, they do such a great job. But they also know that we're going to bring a little of our own flair to it, and it makes that partnership just more fun. And the end result is an event that is better than anyone else that's ever hosted it. And that's what we are in Nashville. Whether it be the NFL draft, the SEC basketball tournament, the All-Star game, our draft, the Stanley Cup, it's just better in Nashville. And it's fun to be able to work with the NHL to almost recreate a lot of their events for others to build on top of. And the Stadium Series would not disappoint. You know, 10 years from now, no one's going to remember the score. I might, and you might, and I wish we would have won. But win or lose, that was a great, great night for our league and for our franchise and for our city.
Yeah, a ton of fun. And Smashville showed out 10,000%. It was unbelievable to see the walkout and every seat filled. So I got lucky to be able to walk around with a media pass and be able to see it from every angle. So I hope you got to do the same, Sean.
Wow, humble flex there, huh? You dropped the media pass on all of us.
Except on the ice. I couldn't get down there.
It was fun walking around really for 2 weeks prior to the event. You know, working with the Titans and working with the CDC and the Sports Council. And, of course, our league, watching the venue come alive for, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 days, despite torrential downpours. I mean, the weather did not cooperate until game day.
And it ended up being perfect. It really did. So, a very memorable night. And
that was great.
Two nights before that, Pecorine became the first player with his number retired in Preds history. Pekka was here for a couple of weeks, and, of course, he stayed for the outdoor game. What was it like honoring the guy who is so perfect and so much so that he wants none of the attention on himself?
Well, you just used that word, and you're so right. He is so perfect. He cares more about every person he encounters than he ever will for himself. And that is why I think he's the GOAT. Above and beyond the incredible stats on the ice, what he did for this franchise, wins and losses and performance, which, you know, speak by themselves, what he did for all of us as people and the individuals and how much he cared about, you know, the least of us is really the story of Pecorine. And to be able to celebrate him as the first Pred with his number retired, it was just appropriate. It was fitting. The fact that he was willing to share that week with our outdoor game just speaks volumes to who he is, because he knew if we could take that one game that's outdoor and his retirement ceremony and combine them into a great week of events, we could raise money for, you know, organizations he cares about, and we could bring a lot of attention to the franchise that he just loves. And I don't know if we'll ever have a better person to wear our jersey than Pecorine. And what's great about Peck is he can't wait for someone to beat every number he has. He can't wait for the second, the third, and the eighth jersey retirement ceremony. He loves this organization. He loves Nashville. And it was nice to see all of us love him back a little bit.
That was the last week of February, and it was a fun week for sure. Predators team president Sean Henry is our guest here on the season finale of Smashville Live, ESPN 102.5 The Game. And Sean, let's look ahead a little bit. There's a lot more to be done this season, but after the original trip to Europe for the team was canceled because of COVID, we found out officially last week that the Preds will be back in the NHL Global Series in the first version of the games in Europe since the COVID pandemic began a couple years ago. It'll start in Switzerland in Roman Josi's hometown of Bern with an exhibition game against his former team, SC Bern. The Preds will be taking on that Swiss team in an exhibition game. And then two regular season games in Prague, Czech Republic against the Sharks on October 7th and the 8th. What's the process like for you guys after the first round gets canceled, saying, whenever you guys go back, we want to be there, and Roman Josi wants to be there?
Well, you know what? It used to be maybe a harder sell for us to push Nashville on the league, but the league wants Nashville in all these events, and it's obvious what they've done with us lately. The NHL, you know, really does, you know, push us forward, and again, our fans make it easy because we support in such an incredible way. So as soon as, you know, unfortunately because of COVID, we had to cancel the games last time, it was, all right, we're going to reschedule. We'll figure out how and when to announce. But let's recreate what we created once. And how much fun is it going to be to go to the home of the best defenseman in the NHL and kind of show off of who we are and what we are and celebrate not just Roman, but our team and our game right there in Bern, and then play games in, you know, really one of the most historic cities in Europe over in Prague. And last time, remember, we were only playing one game, and now we're playing three games, a preseason game and two regular season games. So I just can't wait to go. You know, ideally, for every reason in the world, you know, things resolve very quickly in Ukraine, again, for all the right reasons, and that doesn't, you know, cause any other ripples for what we're going to be doing in 6 months.
Yep, the exhibition game in Switzerland will be on October 3rd later this year, then the two regular season games against the Sharks in Prague on October 7th and 8th. And by the way, if anybody's thinking about making the trip, Tickets for the regular season games in Prague will actually go on sale on Friday, and it looks like there are some VIP-type packages available as well for those who like to plan in advance. But that'll be a special trip for the Preds that, again, was supposed to happen a couple of years ago. And as you said, Sean, we're getting more this time. So that'll be a fun way to start the 2022-2023 season.
Oh, it's going to be great. And, you know, just go to our website if you want to put your name in the hat and get more information about those trips. So we're going to organize it for our own fans to make it easier for those that can make it. And for me, I'm just so thankful for Gary Bettman for scheduling this trip when all three of my school-age kids are on fall break. So it's going to be fun for myself, and hopefully a lot of our fans can do the same thing. So it really will be a great way to launch next season and ideally celebrate what happened this season. And we don't know where that's going to end yet.
There we go. Commissioner Bettman scheduling with the Henry family in mind, as it should be done. Well, Sean, our final half hour of the year on Smashville Live spent with you. A great way to end it. Thanks for looking back, looking forward, and we will see you at the rink for game three of the first round sometime next week.
Yeah, well, Max, thanks for having me on. Thanks for tolerating all the woo wagons in the background as I was trying to get back to the building safely, but I finally gave up and paused on 7th and Broadway. So thank you so much for doing this. Love the show. Love what you're doing. And like I said, I look forward to seeing you on many, many, many games in the next 2 months.
Yeah, my pleasure, Sean. Thanks for all the support this season and a nice authentic Nashville feel in the background. He's Sean Henry, Predators team president and CEO. If you don't already, you can follow him on Twitter at President, his famous Twitter handle, where many of you follow him already. That's it for this season on Smashville Live. Got a lot of people to thank, Robbie Stanley and Chase McCabe, for hosting the first half of the season before I had the pleasure of taking over. Our many producers on these Wednesday nights, including Kenny Adams, who's here tonight, Ian Safar, who always gets us set up, Jared Cassidy, Nick Kieser, David Jane, so many others, all the players and hockey personalities who joined us this season, Kevin Wilson, Nick Barnowski, Katie Cafaro from Preds PR, who help us to schedule those interviews, Chase McCabe and Ryan Porth for their supervision here at the game and helping to set up many of those guests as well, and our co-hosts on the show, Hal Gill and Chris Mason, who always chip in with their A-plus hockey insight. That's all for this season. Our final thank you goes to our sponsors here on Smashville Live, New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine. The hockey talk continues throughout the playoffs here. Every Preds game on 102.5 The Game. We'll be talking Preds every weeknight as well. And of course, to finish up the hockey block, Penalty Box Radio is next.